Thank you for joining me today. I'm here Monday through Friday each and every week, and using the Word of God, the Bible, we are exploring who God is. I want to encourage you to do three things if you have benefited from this ministry. Number one, if you are a Christ follower, then please pray for me and pray for all the listeners to this broadcast. I highly value and place great importance on your prayers for me. Ask the Lord to give me conviction, clarity, and courage. Pray for my spiritual, physical, and mental health. I pastor a church, as I do, God is, so each and every day has many different challenges. I require the guidance and protection of the Master Jesus every moment of every day. Please pray for me. And pray for the people who tune in. God can and does do great and amazing things through radio. He always has used radio as His tool, as an instrument in His hands to bring the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ into people's homes, cars, businesses, schools, and farms, wherever the signal reaches. Join me in praying that people who do not yet have genuine faith in Christ will come along with us here on God Is. Pray for the salvation of the people of New England and of the world, as many people outside of even the U.S. listen via the podcast. So number one, pray. Ask God to use radio and the internet for His glory. Number two, tell others about God Is. Give someone a call and say, I've been listening to Bible teaching on WEZE at 4:30, and I'd like to see if you want to tune in as well. If your friend or family member, neighbor, or colleague tells you they're not free at that time, then send them the link to the podcast from the WEZE website. www.590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. And show them how to download and listen to it. Then follow up with him or her and ask them what they are learning. What is their response to the Bible? Who do they say that God is? And then number three, write to me. Tell me what you have benefited from. What are you learning? How has your life been transformed in our time together? Let me know what you would still like to learn about God. Is there something you'd like me to cover in the coming weeks or months? Hit me with a hard question and definitely be honest and suggest anything at all. If you do not write, because I cannot read minds, then I do not know what you are thinking. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. That's M-A-R-K at M-A-R-K-A-S-W-A-L-L-O-W.com. So pray for me and pray for all the listeners. Tell others about God Is and invite them to listen with you. And then third, write to me. And you could do all three today. I look forward to seeing how the Lord Jesus Christ will continue to use this ministry in this new month and in the months ahead. Thank you for being a part of it, and I'm happy to be with you for another day. And today, we're going into the book of Acts chapter 13. And let me remind you why we are doing this. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul writes to the saints at Rome, quote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Unquote. And I am asking, what does "to the Jew first" mean? I've given three reasons why Paul writes about the Jew first, and here are the first three reasons again. Why does the Jew come first? My first insight was that the Jewish people are God's chosen people. My second insight is that Jesus demonstrates that salvation comes from the Jews. My third insight is that Jesus commanded that the gospel be given to the Jew first. And last time I introduced my fourth insight into why Paul writes to the Jew first. I believe Paul writes this because he wants to affirm that the Jews need the gospel as much as the Gentiles need the gospel. And we saw this at play in Acts 9 and Romans 9. Today I want us to survey some other New Testament texts to see how concerned Paul is that the Jews receive and believe this gospel of God. And at the end last time, I asked you to read all of Acts chapter 13, and if you did so, then you'll gain more from what follows. I will begin reading at verse 1 and read all the way to verse 5. This is Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. That's Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and I want you to notice a couple of things about it. Do not get lost in detail. At the end of verse 1, you have a man named Saul with an S. That is, Paul with a P. Saul was his Jewish name, and Paul is his Roman name. The difference for us in English is just one letter. The S becomes a P. And then in verse 2, the Holy Spirit identifies two men, Barnabas and Saul, to be set apart. So in verse 3, they are set apart and prayed for and then sent away. Barnabas and Saul are being sent to do what? To take this message of the gospel, salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the Jew first and later to the Gentiles. They go from Antioch to Cilicia and then sail to Cyprus. And highlight verse 5, when they reached Salamis. Salamis is on the island of Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, what did Barnabas and Saul do? Acts chapter 13, verse 5 says, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. I'll read that again. They began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Ah, note that. After they were set apart and prayed for and sent out by the church at Antioch, they went first to the Jews. They literally got off the boat on the island of Cyprus at Salamis and went into the synagogue of the Jews and proclaimed Christ. That's exactly what we already saw Saul doing right after his conversion to Christ back in Acts 9. I'm reading now from Acts chapter 9 and verses 19 through 20. Now for several days, Saul was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." What Saul did at Damascus is what he now does at Salamis. He is proclaiming. He is preaching the word of God. He is preaching Jesus Christ. Saul, Paul, is on a journey to share the gospel with Jews because the Israelites are in desperate need of it. And notice how Saul, Paul, starts with the Jews. The Jew first. And now come with me further down into Acts chapter 13 and verse 14. Paul is on the move. He's not letting any grass grow under his feet. I'm reading Acts chapter 13 verses 14 through 16. But going on from Perga, he arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen." Here it is again. Paul's following the same pattern. Who does he seek out at Pisidian Antioch? The Jews. Where? In the synagogue on the Sabbath. Paul knows this is where his Jewish audience will be. He goes to the Jews first, and he launches into a significant teaching. Paul is really going to preach his heart out. Starting at verse 16 of Acts 13, Paul just unloads on the Jews in the synagogue that Sabbath day. And you can read his sermon all the way down to verse 41. Now that's preaching, my friends. And here are some highlights that have bearing on our discussion. At the beginning and then throughout, he establishes the history of the Israelites, proving that he is one of them. His mastery of Jewish history is clear, but it is also strategic because at verse 23, Paul says, I'm reading Acts chapter 13, verse 23 now, "From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus." There. Paul's preaching the gospel. Paul is talking to the Jews in the synagogue on the Sabbath about faith alone in Christ alone. Listen to verse 26. This is Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. "Brethren," meaning my fellow Jews, "sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent." And did you hear that? Salvation. And who provides the Jews' salvation? Jesus Christ does. That is why further along in Acts 13 and verse 30, Paul preaches God raised Jesus from the dead. And in verse 32, Paul says, "We preach to you the good news." Wow. I hope you see the gospel in Paul's message that day to the Jews in the synagogue. The gospel is not just for the Gentiles. It is for the Jews first. But sadly, most Jews do not believe in Christ. In fact, these Jews who did not believe turned against Paul and Barnabas. This is Acts 13 and verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. And then verse 50 of Acts 13. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. And even down in Acts chapter 14 and verses 1 through 2, at a place called Iconium, as they continued their journey, they went into the synagogue where even Gentiles piled in to hear the good news of the gospel. But look at verses 1 and 2. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Paul and Barnabas are facing stiff resistance from the Jewish leaders and most of the Jewish people. And sadly today, the gospel is rejected by most Jewish people. We must pray for the people of Israel and for Jewish people all across the world to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Well, we could read on, but we're out of time. The bottom line is this. Romans 1, verse 16, the gospel is for the Jew first and also to the Greek. I've given you four reasons why Paul said that the gospel is for the Jew first. I trust you see where I find those within the Bible. I'm supporting each and every reason from the biblical text. And I trust that you'll also be right back here tomorrow with me for more of God Is.